Welcome to the Mental Mile. I'm Chersti.
I'm Christy.
And we are moms, friends, and therapists.
Hello, Chersti. We just recorded our holiday episode, and now we're going to talk about the new year.
Yeah.
And before we got on, we do what we do a lot, which is just chat about Susie reading.
Yeah, of course, because who else we can chat about? She's our favorite person. But I'll just share with our listeners that last New Year's, our very first person that we interviewed for the podcast was Susie Reading, and we talked about setting goals. Yeah.
So, and I am just as enamored with Susie as I was a year ago, Chersti, or however long ago that was. So, and I was just chatting with you about the new books that she has coming out. And I just feel like I'm such a fan. I pre-ordered both of her books. I'm so visual. I love the illustrations, and I just love how, I don't just like simple and practical her advice is.
Yeah.
I've just used it so much for me, so much for my clients. Yeah. And I remember you had discovered her like in your local bookshop, I think.
Right. Yes. I still refer to that book all like regularly. I just keep it all the time, and I use it, you know, that book is geared for children or for like parents and how they like interact with their children. But I actually use the information in it for children, for teens, for adults. It's a very usable book.
It is. And like great stuff for families. So I always say like for families, if you're going to go with one book, if you're not going to have a complete library like I am of Susie's work, I like to recommend the Stand Tall Like a Mountain for families because I feel like it's a real catch-all. But I've also just been loving Self-Care for Tough Times.
Yeah, that's a great book.
Yeah.
Appreciated her sharing her personal narrative. I think it's that one. I have a couple of her books. I think it's that one that she shares her personal narrative. And it just gave me even more respect for her because, you know, like, I think it's easy to think that, you know, you see someone really having success and you might think like, oh, like they've never had tough times, right? But she has, you know, and she's a great example. I think she's just like a really positive role model for anybody.
Yes, absolutely. So Chersti, I know we started the conversation last year and we're going to talk a little bit about sort of what we think of New Year's and maybe a little bit of a maybe not as promoted idea on social media around goal setting for the new year, but we're both in alignment around it. So what are some of your thoughts?
Yes. So I feel like New Year's resolutions has gotten a bad rap over the last couple decades. And probably for good reason, because, you know, it's really been pushed on us to like think, oh, we got to lose weight. That's got to be our New Year's.
True. Resolution. Yeah.
We've got to like fit the mold somehow. But I think the truth is that it's great to have little check-ins throughout the year where we are thinking about like, oh, you know, what do I want to be working on for personal development? And so I actually, just before we started talking, I brought up BJ Fogg, who you introduced me to, another great person, by the way. And I was thinking, like, I actually think that the idea of New Year's resolutions actually fits into his, like, model of, like, if you want to be successful at setting goals, attach that goal to something that's already, like, existing in your life. And so the reason I think New Year's resolutions is, like, it's a great time to be setting goals is because we've attached the idea of, like, oh, I'm going to have this time to reflect and work on self-improvement, and I'm attaching it to a date. I have a reminder to check in about it every single year. And I think that fits his model. So
I think it fits it so well. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think we probably both think a lot about goals just in our work throughout the year. And so I noticed for me, like a really natural time was to work on that when I started my new job in August, because I had to really organize my time management. So there might be like natural periods, or you mentioned that you sort of shifted to your birthday.
Yes. Well, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, a friend of mine on my birthday said, what's your resolution for your new year? And I said, do you make resolutions on your birthday? And she's like, yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's such a good, like tradition to make. So now I've started, you know, every birthday I try to come up with something that I want to work on for that year. Yeah.
Awesome. And I still have this, joy journal that I bought. It's hot pink. And the joy part is gold glitter. So that sort of tracks, you know, with what I would pick. And it was on like Oprah's like journal pick for one of her 50 favorite things, like, I would say maybe 6 or 7 years ago, but I write each year like my goals for the year, and then I check back in the next year.
That's awesome.
And it's a really positive experience, because some you're like, oh, those just don't make sense with where I am in my life anymore. Like, I didn't accomplish them, but that's okay, because things naturally shifted this other direction. Or on the contrary, you might realize you've made more progress than you wanted to. Yeah. In fact, I've been doing this for a long time, because I think when I look back on it, it was like one of the goals was get licensed. And that was what, at this point, I don't know how long ago, but I've been writing since then, because when you're in the internship process, it feels so long and daunting. So it's sort of fun to like, to look back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, I think that's also another benefit of attaching like a goal setting routine to a date, such as New Year's or your birthday or whatever, because then it also gives you a reminder to look back. So yeah, great.
Yeah. And then I think, who was it? Somebody else gave me the idea. Oh, it was Gottman, the Gottman Institute, that small institute of famous couples researchers. I signed up for their weekly free newsletter like years ago. And, you know, I don't read them every week because there's been so many, but some will sort of speak to me. And they recommended every year just reflecting and thinking about your goals with your partner. Right. And so we started doing that too a couple years ago. I will say, as a therapist, I think I'm much more into it than my partner is. Like, this is a wonderful idea of self-reflection. I don't know how much it resonates, but just to think about your shared goals and your shared dreams together as a family and then as a couple unit, that's been lovely too. So
yes, I think you can actually extend that idea to your family, like how setting a goal like with your actual family. So if you have kids or whatever, like, what's going to be our theme for this year? What's going to be, you know, like, what do we want to work on as a family? That's a great tip. I every year for the last, I think this will maybe be my third year, I, at the beginning of January with my run club that I'm the coach of, we do vision boards to envision like what we want our run goals to be.
Yes.
And, anyways, I know we've talked about vision boards in the past with Rachel Leatham, right?
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, yeah, there's a lot of ways that I think you can get excited about setting goals and set yourself up for success. And what I like about the vision board is that it becomes very visual. And the takeaway that I took from Rachel is that you want, every time you look at that vision board, to give you that 10 out of 10 feeling. I think that's the exact words. And so I tell that to people now, like, make that your 10 out of 10 feeling, so that anytime you look at it, you like, it gives you motivation, not just the reminder, but the motivation.
But I think depending on how you are, it's a little less, it feels a little less formal than writing your goals down, and more playful, and it doesn't feel as much like a homework assignment. So I just think there's lots of different ways you can do it.
Right.
Yeah. And so what are some of the, like, the things that you've used with your clients or with yourself to help you set more realistic goals?
We do the vision board, as I just mentioned, but I think like just having regular check-ins, you know, having accountability. So I think that's one of the nice things about having a therapist. Is that you have a person that you're checking in with regularly that's tracking your goals.
Yeah.
And that is helping you be accountable to them. And speaking of tracking, there's lots of ways that you can track goals, whether it's through a journal or through a calendar or through like a weekly check-in with a person, or just, you know, different ways of monitoring whatever the goal is, you know, like if you can set it up so that there's some way to monitor or collect information, is really, really useful and helpful. But I think that accountability piece is really important. I forget the exact statistic, but I know that like if you tell someone what your goal is, you're a lot more likely to actually accomplish it.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's a little bit more belief and accountability, and then people just might casually circle back with you around that.
Yeah. What are some tips and tricks that you use with your clients?
Well, I think I always go back to core values, and that's something that, you know, Susie does as well. But thinking about like, why is this important to you? And then the other part, which I think is a real big surprise for clients, is a little bit of that myth busting that just because it's important to you and you agree with it wholeheartedly doesn't mean it's going to be natural to sort of implement that change. Yeah. And I think that was the thing, you know, back when we were in graduate school together, that really drew me in terms of motivational interviewing and looking at health behavior is, okay, as a country, as a world, we can all agree that like smoking cigarettes is not good for you, but you can't just tell somebody that at a doctor's appointment and then have them magically stop smoking. And so what is, and obviously there's certain dynamics that come up with smoking that might be different from other things, but it's so much more complex than that. So the other thing I really like to do, and this might be harder to describe in a podcast, I wasn't thinking about this, but the decisional balance worksheet, talk about not a sexy name for something, but I'm telling you, this is the jam. And so it's more, it's like a pro and con list, except taken to the next level. And so you look at what are the pros and cons of keeping the behavior and changing the behavior. And that not only clarifies and might help give you some ideas around goal setting, but it really honors why you're still doing the old thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that really just takes away a lot of the shame and sort of criticism that we might have around why we're doing that thing that we're trying to shift. So that's certainly something that we can post more on our Instagram as well. But that's something that I've loved personally and I've used a lot with clients.
Yeah, we should. That sounds, I love, you know, taking away the shame and like honoring. I loved how you said that, honoring why we were doing the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. It kind of reminds me of the stages of change. And I think as a therapist, you're oftentimes looking at, you know, where is the person in like their like on that ladder of change? Because if they're just at the beginning where they're thinking about it, you know, there's a lot more steps versus like if they're in the action phase and they're like ready for that change.
Yeah.
And so kind of, I think there's probably some crossover with the decisional balance worksheet.
Yes, absolutely.
The change letter. Yeah.
Yeah. So that sort of, I mean, if you're not a therapist listening, is that, you know, it goes through what, like pre-contemplation, like you haven't even contemplated making the change, then contemplation. So you're thinking about it. Then what would the next step be?
I think then action.
Really quick, yeah. And is it maintenance?
Yep. Stages of change.
And it's not linear, right? So you can sort of go back and forth and have different things happen that might bump you around into different areas. But I think the thing that might surprise people is that even if you're all bought in and you're in the action phase and you are ready to go, it's hard to do things differently. And I think that's really where, you know, BJ Fogg's work around tiny habits or however you want to frame it can be really helpful. So you can have those small successes and build on them. And I think the coolest part about BJ Fogg's work is the celebrating immediately when it happens.
Yes, that's a great tip. And actually, that's a tip that I have been like weaving into my work for ever since I learned about BJ Fogg. I've been weaving that into like all my sessions with almost all my clients. And I really like that because I think people really need that burst of like of fulfillment, you know, that neurochemical burst that comes with celebrating something. And when something's small, I think people oftentimes have the tendency to be dismissive of it, like, oh, it wasn't really that big of a deal, or it's not really an accomplishment. But I think that if you understand that actually giving yourself that like feedback, that neurofeedback by giving yourself a little celebration, it actually propels you forward.
Yeah. Can you share a little bit more about Shine and just how you talk about that with clients? Because I think it's not talked about as much in our field.
Yeah. Well, I'll literally like, in a session, if we're like, almost as if we're doing kind of behavioral work, you know, after we do the hard thing, I say, all right, let's do a little like celebration dance. And I'll be like, oh yeah, we did it. And no one can see me on here, but I literally will dance with my clients.
Yes.
And you feel you feel silly, but you know what? Every time it puts a big smile on the person's face and I know that they've gotten the burst.
Yes. I think of it as like the victory, you know, I don't watch football. I'm not interested in sports, but the victory dance for the touchdown, you do it right after. You don't have to plan anything. It's just available to you, or you might sing a little bit of a song or whatever sort of feels good to you. But I think, you know, what BJ emphasizes, you know, we're on a first name basis. You know, we're not apt actually, is that you don't want to wait. You don't want to go home and then plan the thing to celebrate it. You want to do something in the moment to really make that connection in your brain that different thing that you did is positive and that you're rewarded for it right away. And it doesn't need to be complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Complicated.
That's cool.
Oh yeah, we did.
Yes. Okay, well, speaking of oh yeah and being silly, then I'll just, you know, we're just going to throw some stuff out here. This is so fun. We didn't really plan this at all. You know, so Amy Cuddy's TED Talk about the power of body language. Mm-hmm. So she talks a lot about power posing, sort of like the Wonder Woman pose or like the victory pose that she says you'll see athletes naturally do when they've won a race or whatever that is, and how that boosts your confidence. And that can help with maybe boosting your confidence around setting a goal. I know for me, when I wake up really drained and I'm like, how am I going to get through this day of parenting? I don't feel very confident right now. I will power pose in the mirror. You can do it before a job interview or a presentation. So that's another, another trick that I've been sharing with the students that I work with, and I'll make them power pose with me. And, you know, you get a lot of grumbles and a lot of shoulders that are sort of hunched over. And by the end, they're just sort of walking out a little bit taller and they're giggling. But it's a really just like great practical skill, like grounded in research that you can remember, and that can have, you know, immediate impact on your life. So yeah. I love different things.
Yes. It reminds me of when I was in high school, I competed in speech and debate. And a lot of times, I think anytime you do public speaking, you know, people hate public speaking and you get very nervous and anxious and all of that. And I think using these power poses and practicing beforehand, like helps prepare you for it. To give you that sort of confidence. But the other tip that was always given to me was, like, you know, actually dress for it, you know, like, and people, there's been studies on this, like if you're wearing red or black, you tend to have more success than if you're wearing like pastels.
Yeah.
and so I always did that when I would compete. I'd always make sure I wore something that like gave me that sort of confidence boost. And if nothing else, I told myself it was giving me a confidence boost, and it gave me a confidence boost.
That's right. It doesn't matter why it works, just that it works for you and you find the things that work for you. Yeah. So do you have any New Year's resolutions or things you're thinking about specifically for this year?
I normally actually right after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, I start to think about it. And then I usually formalize it that first week of January. So I don't even usually have it exactly down on January 1st. But I'm thinking about it actively. I do know this year I'm running a marathon in April, so that's Ooh. Already on the list, but it's already, that goal's already been set. So
where is it going to be?
I'm running the Big Sur International Marathon, so it's
Oh, it's going to be gorgeous.
Yes, I'm very excited. So,
Jersey, have you run a marathon before? I forget.
I have ran 3 marathons, so this will be my 4th.
Okay. So I think it probably makes a difference doing it in a beautiful setting.
Yes. Oh. I'm so excited because I think a lot of it is along like Highway 1.
Yes.
And so it's just, I think it's like one of the most scenic marathons out there. Yeah, I'm very
That's going to be a very big experience of awe. That is my prediction for you.
Yes. Big experience of awe. And you know, I just finished writing up my training calendar. I am a running coach for, so I like, maybe actually like one of those ways how I mentioned, like you should be able to track your goals, right? Mm-hmm. So I write up a training calendar with like what I expect myself to be doing. And then I print it out and I physically mark it up as I go along and take notes on it and to set myself up for success. But I just finished writing it yesterday. So I'm in a half marathon training cycle. I'm actually doing a half marathon tomorrow. And so it's just all building from there. So.
Building from there. Well, cool. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I have anything specifically tied to the new year. I think it's a lot of just working full time, a lot of meal prep for my lunches.
Yeah.
Because I can't leave campus. You know, but like the day is just too busy.
Right.
So a lot of that boring stuff, that boring adulting stuff of like getting in like gentle movement for mental health, meal prep, planning, prioritizing sleep. Just, I think it's been very much like the foundational pieces for me, just to give me that energy and foundation that I need to be able to, you know, add on a lot more hours at work and still take care of myself.
Yeah. So have you been able to kind of like create routines and stuff around like meal planning? Yeah.
And it got easier. So, but I just have been laughing at myself because I feel just so adultish, you know? Yeah. Or no, I would say adult, but from this perspective of inside, you never really feel, or at least for me, my age. Like I got an orthopedic pillow so that my neck doesn't hurt as much when I wake up. that feels older. Doing a lot of overnight oats because it's an easy thing to do the night before to make your morning more seamless, but it just feels very responsible, a little too responsible. And then packing lunches for my kids. And there's some, you know, my daughter sometimes does cafeteria food, but mostly we need lunch every day for my son. But I'm packing my own container with the three different pockets so that the fruit doesn't get that stuff messed up with the sandwich or whatever it is. But it's a lot of like prepping at night, and just, I think the hard part is just not having as much downtime as you would like, right? Because there's just a lot to do to just have the basics be taken care of for the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But good for you, because you know what? If you didn't do it, you would feel scrambled every day, right? Like it's just,
yes.
You would be scrambling all the time.
And I still do like one or two days a week, I play it fast and loose. And I tell myself I'm going to wake up early and it's going to be fine. And you never wake up early and you're always stressed that morning. But you know, I don't want to do it every single night. So that's okay. So there's a little balance. But for the most part, I'm getting into the groove of things. It's like the teacher life, even though I'm a therapist, you know, it's like when you're there, you are on. We get a lot of breaks and we leave earlier than most people, but you cannot leave the campus. You are trapped.
Yeah.
Just stay there and have your snacks and lunch available if you want to eat and nourish yourself throughout the day. So
yeah.
Planning. Yeah. Okay. So lots of fun running coming up for you. Okay. Well, Charity, this was so wonderful just to catch up and talk about the new year and reminisce about Susie.
Of course.
And just to see you, we're matching brunettes now as well. Yeah. You know,
the length of our hair is similar.
And I can even imagine you running on your virtual Zoom background right now because you're in your rental and you don't have your office. And it just, I see somebody running back there. And so
this is actually a picture of a race of someone that I like coach.
Oh, okay. Oh, awesome. Yes. So we'll be thinking of you tomorrow. And where is your half marathon tomorrow? Somewhere beautiful?
It is in Fremont. So this picture is actually in Fremont that you're seeing.
Okay.
Listeners can't see it, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you have a lovely time. It was great to see you. Happy, happy new year. And we will share with everyone when we're getting ready to record our next episodes.
Perfect. Perfect. Sounds good. Thank you everybody for listening.
Find us on Instagram. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Check out Charity's running book. Check out my self-care book. Lots of fun goodies on our websites. And we will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening today. Make sure to leave us a review and subscribe. That really helps us with the podcast, and share it on social media with your friends.
And check our show notes if you want to check out our books, Self-Care 101 for Busy Parents, which is an ebook by Christy, and Running for Mental Health, a how-to guide by Charity. Take care, everybody.